support for us to be able to work and provide a better life for our communities. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Good afternoon. My name is Linda Jaramillo, and I serve as the Interim Executive Director of the Oregon Latino Health Coalition, and also am looking forward to serving as President-elect of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon Board of Directors. First, I want to thank you all as commissioners for your courageous action declaring Portland a sanctuary city. I also want to commend Commissioner Udaly for your leadership in working toward this task force work, and Mayor Wheeler for your bold witness, I call, a spokesperson for the city of Portland among mayors when President Trump threatened to remove federal funding from sanctuary cities. It was a proud day, indeed, for us to see you there. I continue to be a proud Oregonian and Portlanders in these chaotic and challenging political times. I am here in support of the recommendations submitted by the task force before you. The Oregon Latino Health Coalition is dedicated to community wellness and eliminating health disparities affecting Oregon's Latinos and Latinas. It is a well-documented fact that access to comprehensive health care services is critical to address our issues of human rights. In our interactions as a coalition with members of the Latino community, we are constantly told and reminded, like as Nuestra Hermana here, that the current political climate of impacting the immigrant population is creating fear and distrust resulting in social isolation. Parents are afraid to take their children to much-needed prevention and intervention health services due to the threat imposed by ICE. As we work diligently to enroll children and young people in the Oregon Health Plan, which they now qualify for, we must take great precautions to avoid exposing them to potential risks at public forums. This already serious health access problem is growing, and we must do all we can to stop it now and reverse this trend. As a brother earlier from Tonga shared, building a strong canoe will take all of us working together to coordinate, to collaborate, and to support one another, not only with the legal support that's needed, but with an office that actually can pull us all together and create an environment in which we can change our culture. I know you'll agree that we want Portland to be a healthy city with healthy people living in it. Your action on the recommendations of this report is important to ensure the health and wellness of all Portlanders, not just some. Thank you so much again for the opportunity.
Thanks for being here.
Good day, Mayor Wheeler. Commissioner Udaly, thank you for your work on this. Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Fish and Saltzman, and Mayor Wheeler, I appreciated your bringing your pastoral skills to the funeral for our dear friend, Reverend W.G. Hardy, a few weeks ago.
He was a great man, the least I could do.
And longtime running mate. We're both Franklin High graduates. So, I come as a pastor of Augustana Lutheran Church in Portland, a thriving multicultural, multinational congregation that 22 years ago could have become a minimums because it was dying. And today it's 900 people, but it also houses $2.5 million worth of justice work, and 30 jobs has been created through the church and through our nonprofit collaborative with Familias en Acción, the Society for Haitian Arts, Culture, and Social Support, the Native American Open Circle Ministry, Community Alliance of Tenants, Well Arts Institute, Irvington Preschool. And I just say that because out of that one little place of Portland, $2.5 million of work, 30 jobs, and 50,000 visits a year outside of worship. So I'll come back to the dollar amount as I close my comments, but I think we have a challenge before us. And as I look around this room and give tremendous thanks for the task force that was at work and for our dear friends in this room right now, Sucre and Polo Catalani and Marco Mejia and others have been working on this, I say great thanks. And we fully endorse, of course, as I know you're going to, their recommendations. But let me just say a few words. I ask you, look, you know, you're looking out this whole time. This is Portland. This is who we are as a nation. And part of a global village. And it's not somebody in a red hat someplace with some kind of slogan on it. It's us, many cultures, great diversity. That's the richness of a community. I'd ask you, not you don't have to look behind you, but imagine behind you it says Portland. And imagine, say, a thriving, multicultural, multinational, multigenerational sanctuary city as the vision for who we are. But that takes confronting racism head on. And I know you all know that. And in our work as a member of the Alabama Minnesota Alliance Coalition for Justice Police Reform Steering Committee for 20 years now and 10 years in federal court with all of us. As a past president of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, chair of the Northwest Health Foundation Board, you know what it takes. And you can talk to Sukri and others from the Health Foundation Board, how they shifted dollars. So now $3 out of every $4 goes towards communities of color. God gets angry, as you all know, and we have many faith communities represented because we know if we don't work together lovingly, not just tolerate, no, be brothers and sisters, Muslim and Jew, Hindu and Buddhist, Sikh, Native American spiritual leaders, people of faith and people of just goodwill to weave the beloved community, we'll lose it. And so I ask you to look closely at this going forward. Imagine that this task force not only is creating something that's very tangible, but that it'll become the lens from which you look at this city. They become the lens for police reform. They become the lens for housing. They become the lens for employment. And if you open the newspaper and look at a leading real estate firm, everybody's white. Look at a really leading firm that does appliances, everybody's white. They put their pictures. That's not who we are. So this is much bigger, as you know. So I encourage you, $750,000, I'm going to ask you 10 times that. And, of course, others will come to the table. Because we can multiply. People of faith know that you put some out there, the leaven, and it will multiply. And it will multiply, and it will change who we are. The only way we're going to change is to change the culture of this city and nation to be to be a very exciting time of an inclusive and powerful, loving, powerful for good, loving people. Because God gets angry when the vulnerable, the poor, the widow, the orphan, when families are separated. I beg you, go to the belly of ice. I've been there many times with Steve Manning, Francisco Aguirre, and others. Go in that little tiny room in that massive building on McAdam Avenue. Go through security. Go sit with other people waiting because they don't know why they're there. The fear and trembling. I hope every Portlander goes to bed at night and asks what it would be like to have a knock at midnight to come and get me or my family. That is a terrifying figure. And this is about life and death. Francisco Aguirre, who lived in Augustana for 81 days, and during that time we helped start the National New Sanctuary Movement from 6 congregations out of 1,400 across this nation. His son was so afraid of living in Portland because of ICE. His 18-year-old son, Moses, begged to go back to El Salvador. He was murdered on a soccer field. This is life or death. So I beg you, keep doing what you're doing, but let's take it up 10.0. Leadership 10.0. Budgeting 10.0. Don't be afraid. Set the tone, which you already are, but let's take it farther. And thank you to this task force. Your work is brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you available for morning pep talks, Reverend?
Morning pep talks? I'm ready anytime.
Okay.
But keep doing.
That's great.
And I know you're going to vote, so thank you.
We have one more guest. That is Romeo Sosa. Is Romeo still here? You're going to close it out for us.
Okay. Good afternoon.
No pressure.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Commissioners. It was nice to see you yesterday in the panel, for the Secretary panel, too. I think I'm here today also to support the...
Sit back? Or push the mic back a little bit. You're too close.
Like that?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm asking you to support the recommendation of the task force, but also leaving this moment, I just want to tell you some of the stories that I received that call because I'm part of the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition who have the hotline. And there's several cases that I took personally, but this is some of the closest case that... happened. It's also a member of the soccer team of VOS, Worker Rights Education Project, which is I'm the executive director, but I'm in transitioning out right now. So he's a member of the soccer team, and we have to play that day on March 17, 2017. So I received a phone call in the morning, like 7 o'clock, and they say that ICE got detained my brother in McLaughlin and Jennings Avenue. So I couldn't believe that moment, but I was kind of shocked. I know him, and I know his brother, so I have to ask him, like, tell me a little bit what happened. So there's basically they follow him from his house to work. They are going to work, and they got stopped. They thought it was the police, but it was ICE, got detained, and arrested that day. And then immediately I take more information about, like, where did they take? And because also in the Poland Immigrant Rights Coalition, we have, like, a verification team. So but they already transferred to the jail here in Poland, in the Makarem Avenue. So this person went directly to see if he's there, and he confirmed he's there. So immediately I brought to the Poland Immigrant Rights Coalition rapid response team, like, what we should do. And we took more information. We got the enough information to make a mobilization, because we want to stop him to be transferred to Tacoma Detention Center. So in less than 30 minutes, they're going to transfer him in that day. In less than 30 minutes, we have 30 people in front of the Makarem Detention Center here in Poland protesting that they should not be transferred to Tacoma Detention Center. But also we contact a lawyer, and she told us that we need to stop him here in Poland, because it's going to be hard if he's going to be in Tacoma. And then also part of this story, we couldn't stop him. They sent him to Tacoma. But the beautiful thing of this is that the neighbors, the church, that they came with bags of food and also money to continue to pay the rent. And also the community is organized in kind of those crucial moments. But I think it's your part too. It's part of the city council that to propose to help us to a little bit to really stop all this suffering of the people. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Move to accept the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Udaly, a second from Commissioner Fish. Any further questions? Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, thank you to everybody who came today on this important thing. And in fact, I will start by saying thank you to the people of New Jersey and Pennsylvania and New York and Oregon for welcoming me as an immigrant. Came here in 79 and to Portland in 86. And I'm very grateful for the way the people of Portland have made me part of the Portland family. And it wasn't... So I became a citizen in 1992, right after Measure 5 passed, feeling that even if I was only one vote, I would have been one vote to have stopped that nonsense. It wasn't until the beginning of 2017 when I went to an event at the Muslim Educational Trust, talking after the new president had announced all his travel bans and various other things. That was the first time I felt like a second-class citizen since I became a citizen, because people were being told that even if you were a naturalized citizen, it was not safe to leave the country and go back to your country of Oregon because you might... ...trust and the people who were there to have us all work together. And that's what we're talking about here, is we're talking about all working together. So thank you to the task force members. It's going to take all of us working together to figure out how to fund this program. The Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, the Portland Police Bureau, Portland Public Schools, David Douglas Schools, Park Rose High School, and actually all of the other... We had the young woman from Reynolds High School. The schools, as we heard, children are so vulnerable here. American-born children whose parents could be deported. And so it's absolutely part of the school board's responsibility to figure out how they can help fund this. American Civil Liberties Union, the American Immigration Lawyers Association, thank you for your presentation. The DREAM activists, Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, One Oregon, Oregon Ready, Oregon Commission on Hispanic Affairs, and TriMet. And TriMet should have a part of funding this too. We all need to feel safe out in public and everywhere else. Thank you to Winter Johannes in Commissioner Daly's office and Goldan Salazar in mine, and for all of the work in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. It will take all of us figuring out how to address this. We must address this. This was a very compelling presentation, how to find the money between us all is going to be a huge challenge. Commissioner Udalia, I appreciate you prioritizing looking at the universal representation part of this recommendation as the most urgent issue. I know that my dear friends at the New Portlanders Policy Commission are ready and willing to just continue ramping up your work. You have a good home in the Office of Neighbourhood Involvement, and for now, the support that you're getting there will continue to enable you to do great work like this. I do think that the most urgent issue is the legal support, which has to be a wide community initiative with individuals, non-profits, public organizations, private organizations. We all need to be part of this. And so I know that it'll be a very difficult budget process. We will be making cuts within city services for things like parks, where that's where people are welcome to gather. We have a wonderful gathering coming up on March 16th, which we did the first one of last year with the immigrant support celebration. I hope everybody will look at my website later and find out about that. We can celebrate together as well as being scared together, and I think we have to do both. We should be diligent in addressing this terrible thing that's coming over our community and making our families so vulnerable, and we can continue to revel in the glory of the amazing community that we have, that we are willing to work together. We do value each other, and we're going to figure out how to address this. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I want to begin by thanking Commissioner Udaly, Oni, the task force, and everyone who participated today and testified so eloquently in favor of this report. Since we have spent the better part of today sharing stories, I'll just begin by acknowledging and thanking my mother, who was an immigrant from Canada, and my wife's mother, who was an immigrant from Cordoba in the south of Spain. And neither of us would be in Portland doing what we're doing had we not had immigrant mothers who chose a better life and came to this country and started families. And so I acknowledge and celebrate Julia and Carmen and thank them. I also want to acknowledge the work that the council has done on both the Sanctuary City and the Dreamer resolutions. And a lot of good collaborative work went into that. Those resolutions, and I want to particularly acknowledge Asena Lawrence, proud Turkish-American woman who's on my team, and Mariana Garcia Medina, who's a proud dreamer who's on my team, who both worked hard on both of those resolutions. So as I listen very carefully today to the testimony, here's my takeaway. I learned that it is beyond dispute that there is an enormous difference in the quality of people's representation and how their rights are affected as to whether they have a lawyer or not. And the statistics are staggering. I don't think we've been presented with a clearer case of a disparity on any issue than we have today in terms of those who are or not represented in this complex and Byzantine system of immigration law. Second, I thought it was very powerful when one of the people testifying noted that because Oregon has chosen to be a sanctuary state, and we are bound by Oregon law, so we're a sanctuary city, we have in effect placed people in harm's way. That the heightened risk that so many families face in our community is in part because of the principled stand that Oregon has taken, but that there is a cause and effect. And we know that also because Attorney General Sessions seems to be somewhat obsessed with the state of Oregon. And at various times, he's threatened to take away all of our federal funding, some of our federal funding. He sent letters. He's made demands. He's even threatened to throw a number of us in jail. I think he's beginning to mimic some of the worst habits of his boss in terms of hollow threats. But they clearly were on their radar. And let's be clear that as a result, there are people at greater risk in our community. And so we do have a responsibility. I had asked a question earlier about whether legal aid services, our federally funded legal services, could play a role. And as I suspected, the answer we got was that they are by law prohibited from providing these services. And over time, legal aid lawyers have had the door closed narrower and narrower in terms of what they can and can't do. because the people in Congress who would like to zero out legal services for the poor have, as an alternative strategy, just narrowed the focus of who they could represent. And let's remember that only 1 in 5 Oregonians eligible for legal aid services receives the services. So we're woefully underfunding that program. But I learned that there is no federal legal role here, and I also learned that there's no federal right, that there is no established right for people to have a counsel, competent or otherwise. We also learned that the kinds of legal work we're talking about here is highly specialized. And I was on a forum last night with a couple of people that are here today, and an immigration lawyer gave a sort of a immigration law 101 for dummies, kind of for my benefit, sort of laying out the contours of the law. And it was maddeningly complicated. It was almost incomprehensible how complicated the law is. And so this is uniquely not an area of law where you can just grab a lawyer and say, run to a hearing and do your best. This is highly, highly specialized work that requires intense training. So the question then becomes, does the city have a role? And I think what I've heard is that in a perfect world, there may be a role for the city and the state and the county. There may be a role for philanthropy, and there also may be a role for law firms that have highly specialized people. And that's a longer-term goal. That's a worthy thing to think about. But the question before us is, what do we do yesterday? And what I come back to is what I think is at the core of Chloe's presentation today, which is the most important principle in the law, and it is the notion of equal justice under law. It is the cornerstone of our society. It is the language that's on most courthouses across the country. It's the language that is at the Justice Department in Washington. It is really our most cherished legal principle, equal justice under the law. And when someone doesn't have the right or the access to a lawyer, they cannot get effective justice. We just know that. That's a fundamental point. So I really appreciate the focus in these recommendations on providing universal representation, because I think that is, in a nutshell, in the short term, what's needed. I think the larger question of creating an office of immigrant rights or something like that makes a lot of sense. We have just established or have now our second tribal liaison at the city, and I can tell you that in a very short amount of time, she has done an amazing job helping us navigate very complicated waters involving sovereign nations and urban Indians that don't have the same rights. So I think that that's a laudable goal. So those two recommendations, I think, are thoughtful, well-scaled. And I think in a budget cycle, we're going to have to make tough choices. The one thing I anticipate is we're going to have a fair amount of one-time money to carve up. And so I would like to have a robust conversation at council about launching this program with some one-time money, grabbing what we can, and then scaling it over time. I think this is the right thing to do, and if this becomes a catalyst for other cities and states to take the lead, that would make me even prouder. So thank you all for your good work. Commissioner Udaly, thank you for your leadership. I am accepting the report.
Wheeler.
Well, today we heard some very powerful and insightful testimony, and I want to appreciate everybody who came up and testified. I thought this was an extremely valuable community interaction. So thank you for that, and thank you to all of the participants in the Welcoming Inclusive Sanctuary City Task Force for all the work that you've done to coordinate efforts and support and protect the immigrant and refugee community here in the city of Portland. I want to be clear in restating the same goals that I state at all of these opportunities. Portland is a city where all people are welcome, regardless of their immigration status. Portland is a place where all people are treated with dignity and respect. We're not going to be complicit in the deportation of our neighbors. We're going to protect all Portlanders, no matter their immigration status. We'll protect Portland's status as a sanctuary city, ensuring that our city remains safe and welcoming for all people. We're living under a national political climate where the rights of immigrants and refugees are under siege by an administration where sweeps and deportations instill fear and trauma, break up families, and as you heard today from some of our testimony, endanger lives. It's our responsibility here to take steps at the local level to ensure that everyone who chooses to live in Portland is protected, given basic human rights of dignity, respect, and acceptance, regardless of their immigration status. Now, every time I say those words, my Twitter feed, my Facebook feed, my email inbox, my phones get flooded by people from all over the country. And they often ask the same question. They say, Mayor Wheeler, and by extension, my colleagues on the city council, you took an oath when you took this job to uphold the law and uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. And then they say something or ask something like, what happened? I want to be very clear. Everything that I just stated is consistent with upholding the law. And it is consistent with upholding the Constitution of the United States of America. And every federal court that has had an opportunity to review these issues agrees with me, and they stand in opposition to the actions of the federal administration. So I agree, something needs to be done here at the local level. Commissioner Udaly, like my colleagues, I appreciate you honing in very pragmatically and correctly on this issue of legal aid. I think that is a great place for us to be able to focus. You've heard me, and certainly you've heard some of my colleagues and others mention that there are discussions to be had around size, around scale, around budgets, and I look forward to working with my colleagues and all of you as we continue to evaluate the best path forward. But most importantly, I want to tell you how much I appreciate hearing this report today, and I want to respect the incredible amount of time and energy and thought that went into putting this report together. Thank all of you, and thank you, Commissioner Udaly. I vote aye.
Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor and colleagues. I usually don't get to close the session. I don't feel like I've got a dramatic enough closing, so I might have to wing it here. When we passed the Sanctuary City resolution last year, we knew that it was simply a first step toward protecting and defending our immigrant communities. And we also knew that it wasn't enough. And while we have implemented a few other policies or funded some defense, this task force was really our next big step in hearing from and collaborating with the community in order to determine what the most pressing issues are. And I think unjust and unfair deportation poses a threat to a range of fundamental human rights, and nothing else that we can do really matters if those people are ripped from our community. So I want to thank the task force for highlighting this issue. We hear you, and it seems that we are all in agreement here. So, as everyone has noted, this is a challenging budget cycle. We are in a budget cut year, and I've been looking hard at ways that I could, or things that I could give up in order to put resources towards universal defense. And while someone said I committed to $750,000 earlier, I've committed to hustle for those dollars, that's for sure, but I don't actually have $750,000 to give to Polo today, who actually asked me for the check earlier. But I am going to do my best for you, and I do agree with the mayor and Commissioner Fritz. There may be other entities. There may be ways that we can leverage those dollars, but I think we've got a really great initiative in the Oregon Ready project, and I would love to be able to get started on that as soon as possible. As to the Office of Immigrant Support, I've already communicated this to the task force participants. It's a longer-term request that will take a while to implement. It's and we're really concerned with what we can do immediately. I want to note that this request has been made many times by the community over the years, and I recently learned, as a newcomer to City Hall, that such an office has previously existed in different... Some of you may already know this. Raise your hand if you already know this. Yes, I see three people previously existed. Portland Mayor Frank Ivancy created an Office of Refugee Affairs in the 80s, which led us to today's New Portlander program, which is currently housed under the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. So we can't immediately put together the office as recommended in the report. I can commit to working with my colleagues to see what aspects of the office we can implement now through ONI and OEHR while we consider the larger task of establishing a separate office. So these are my initial reactions. I look forward to engaging with the recommendations, continuing conversations with my colleagues, and I'm going to request a work session. I think it might be my first. So finally, I have some thank yous. I want to again thank the task force members for being generous with your time and lending your support to the city's effort to strengthen our policies. And I want to give a special thank you to Yesenia Ramos for your moving testimony. I try not to cry when I'm up here, but you're in a tough situation, and I really appreciate your bravery in coming down here and all of your service to our community. And she's only a senior in high school, folks, so I can't wait to see what you do next. I want to also thank ONI staff, Sook Ree, Diane Riley, Polo Catalani, May Lowe, and Marco Mejia, as well as Winta. Once again, I really don't think this would have come together in such a wonderful way without her. And thank you for your work. And finally, thank you to staff from every council office, as well as OEHR, OGR, and the city attorney's office, who remained engaged throughout this process and have provided invaluable support. Thank you all for being here today, and I vote aye.
Commissioner Udaly votes aye. The report is adopted.
Accepted.
And we are adjourned.